Praise the Lord. Well, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, when you come hungry, God promises that He's going to bless you and fill you. How many of you know that He will never let you go home unfilled if you will come hungry? Amen. And if the preacher will feed you the Word, you're going to go home blessed. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, God's going to do His part. I'm going to do my part. Are you going to do your part? Amen. Jesus said over there in Matthew 5:6, He said, "Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." You know, what does that mean? It means if you're not interested, God's not going to fill you. You know, if you're not hungry, if you came to church and you were already filled by something in the world, if you were already distracted or disinterested or more consumed with your problems and things like that, well, I tell you what, then you're going to leave with those same problems, you know. But if you'll come to God hungry, if you'll come to Him and say, "Father, fill me. I want your way. I want your way of being right." Amen. He's going to bless you and fill you, because God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Amen. Well, and again, we just welcome those of you that are visiting Family Church today. We're just so honored that you'd be with us. Amen. We know it's a weekend where so many people travel or have family in town, and yet here you are filling the church to the full, and I just tell you, we're going to have a time of heaven on earth here today. For those of you that are visiting, we know that you're not here by accident or by coincidence. We know that God's got a divine purpose for your life. Amen. He says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord." Isn't it good to know that God's thinking about you? The Bible says over there in Psalm 8:4, it says, "What is man or the son of man that you should visit him, or that you should think upon him?" You know, God is thinking about you today, and He's got plans for your life. And He says, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God's plan is better than anything you could ever conjure up on your own. Listen, so many people, don't make this mistake. Don't just choose the plan for your life and say, "Hey, God, this is what I want to do. Please make it happen, or help me with my plan." God isn't helping with your plan. He is already has a plan. Amen. And we need to go to Him and say, "Lord, I want your plan for my life." It may look a lot different than what you thought. I know mine sure did. All right. But that plan is where the blessing is at. That plan is where the joy is at. Amen. And let's make sure to get into God's plan. The Bible says over there in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do." God has already been to your future. Actually, He's there right now. And it says that He's prepared good works for you in advance that you should walk in them. All right? But you know what? You can miss those good works if you're not careful. If you seek your own plan, you won't do the works of God. And so here at Family Church, our job is just to tell you the Word and how to walk in that plan that God has already prepared. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we're just delighted that you're here with us today. We just believe you're going to leave a changed person. And of course, the only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every week, right? Amen. And church, whose job is it? To make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's go ahead and welcome them here today. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Are you hungry for the Word? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start over there in verse 18. How many of you have ever been in a service where you feel like you're just getting clobbered? You know, and when I say clobbered, I mean with conviction. You know, have you ever been in a service where it just feels like, I mean, God is reading your mail. He's got the spotlight on you. You feel like, "Oh my goodness, that's me. He's talking to me. I need to correct that." And when I say spotlight, maybe I should say, I said last night, maybe it should be the heat lamp. You know what I mean? You know, or that light of God just hits you and it's so bright and it just starts to reveal the cracks in your facade, so to speak. Have you ever been there before? You ever been like, "Oh my goodness, He's dealing with me." And see, you thought that only happened to you, but that happens to pastors too. Because that happened to me this past week when I sat under my pastor's ministry. There was a couple of meetings up in Mayville. I was in the Monday service this past week, and Pastor Michael was ministering, and he was teaching on prayer. And then at the end, we prayed, and as we all, you know, were praying together, you know, the Lord just started dealing with me personally right there in my seat. And I mean, the authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit started speaking so clearly to me. I grabbed a piece of paper, I grabbed a pen, and he just dictated to me five things that he wanted to deal specifically with me about. All right? And today I'm going to share with you one of those things. All right? You don't get to know the other four. All right? Praise the Lord. But it was just stuff. You know, how many of you know God cares most of all about your character? He cares more about your heart. He cares more about those things. God wasn't talking to me about my money or material things. He was there to deal with my character. And so many times when I hear from the voice of God, it's very corrective. You know, and you say, well, Pastor, oh my goodness, God was correcting you like that. You know, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. God was just loving me, that's all. Because he tells us over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, do not grow weary of correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even a father, the son in whom he delights. So God was just loving me and delighting on me, you know. Remember what Jesus said over there in Revelation 3:19? He says, for many as I love, I rebuke. All right? So God was just loving me. All right? And I'll tell you what, in that service, he felt like he was loving me more than anybody else. I know you've never been there. You know, these people that, you know, they stand up and, you know, I'm not saying, you know, too many people stand up, but you can just talk to them in a conversation and they just, you know, they tell you that they're, you know, they're always doing things right. God never corrects them or whatever. I don't understand that because when I hear the voice of God, he corrects me. All right. And you know what? You should love and desire that because it's not the things that you're doing right that are going to hurt your life. It's the things you're doing wrong. And we should grow to love and aspire to be corrected. Amen. Amen. And so as the Lord was dealing with me, one of the second point out of the 5 points is that the Lord spoke to me and said this very clearly. And he says, tell your people to pray for you as the pastor. Because in this season of decisions and all these things that are going on, how many of you know we're talking about multiple churches? We're talking about hundreds of people where their destinies, you know, could be on the line. There's decisions to be made and stuff. How many of you know you need your spiritual leadership making the right decisions? Amen. And he said, if some things are missed and if you as a pastor make a mistake, your people could have some responsibility in that if they're not praying for you as the pastor. And so today we're going to call this message, Praying for Your Pastor. And folks, when I say the title of that message, my personal self cringes because it feels like I'm here to preach about myself or it feels like I'm here to ask you to do something personally for me. But it's not about Tim Stallman. It's about the pastor. It's about the divine relationship between a pastor and a congregation. You know, how many of you know that this relationship that we have together, God thought of it? You know, this idea of pastor and congregation is a relationship that God divinely designed. And we need to know how that relationship works, and we need to be skillful and faithful in it. All right? I believe I'm faithful to you. I believe that I've been faithful to bring the supply of the Word of God to this church to feed you on a weekly basis the truth of God's Word. All right? I've been faithful to do that. I have a supply for you, but how many of you know that you also have a supply for the pastor? Amen? You know, and that supply is a supply of prayer. And today I'm going to teach you specifically what the Word says of how to pray for your pastor. All right? Because how many of you know we don't want just canned sermons here? We don't just want, you know, a pastor that's preaching out of his education or giving some homily. You'll never find that in the Bible because that doesn't exist. There's only spirit-anointed messages. Amen. Things. Jesus said this over and over in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:29, he says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God will use a pastor as a voice piece, but it better be the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't want just pre-canned methods of man. Amen. We want a demonstration of his Spirit and power. praise the Lord. But we have to pray for our pastor. And just know this, that I'm in the same boat as you. You know, I have a pastor to pray for, you know. And so when we do this, we'll make sure we don't miss what God wants to do together in our midst. All right, so let's be skillful in this relationship. Amen. Well, have you found Ephesians chapter 6? Praise the Lord. Let's go over to verse 18. And I'm going to give you today five things that you need to be praying for your spiritual leadership. And that begins with your pastor. And again, I'm not speaking about myself personally. I'm speaking about that office of the pastor. Amen. And you have a role to play for praying for your pastor. And again, I'll be honest, just naturally speaking, this was not the message that I naturally wanted to preach. But you know what? Like I said, it was the second assignment that I was given as the Lord dealt with me. He said, you teach your people to pray for their pastor. All right, and if you're visiting here, if you're from out of town, and you just happen to be home for Thanksgiving, and you have a church somewhere else, this applies there. This is not a family church only kind of idea. This is the Bible. Amen. That's what we're going to get here, right? The Bible. Nothing more, nothing less. Amen. Verse 18, and of course, he's talking about prayer. And he says this, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication just means to make request of God in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word saint there means a believer. All right, I know there are some sections of Christianity that have a weird definition of what a saint is. In case you're not familiar, the scripture defines a saint as anyone who's born again. All right, there is no special people in the heavens that have any special powers that are giving you anything except the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, let's just make that clear. And I'm not going after anybody, I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. And so he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all believers. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, meaning, remember, he was thrown in prison for his preaching. He says, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How many of you know Paul was the spiritual leadership for the church at Ephesus? How many of you know he is the founder of that church, and now he got thrown in prison, and he asked that congregation to pray for him, okay? It says that that he would speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice there's a lot of preachers that are speaking, but if we're not careful, they're not preaching what they ought to speak. Just a preacher preaching is not enough. They need to be speaking what they should be speaking at that moment, at that place and time, for the purpose of the Lord, all right? Now, listen, I'm no Paul the Apostle, and neither are you, all right? But yet Paul, the greatest Christian that had ever walked the earth, no doubt the most anointed, he wrote 14 out of 27 New Testament books. You know, nobody else can compare their resume to his, all right? And yet he's saying, he's like, I need you to pray. Because if you don't pray, I could say the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or I could say the right thing at the wrong time. You know, and it won't produce the results that God intended. So notice this, that spiritual leadership, they're not just speaking. They're not just grabbing things out of the air and just trying to preach what they think would be nice. All right. They're not pulling sermons off the shelf. They're not going on sermons.com. They're not just reading what someone else said. Paul said, I need to have divine influence. I need your prayers to hit heaven so I speak to the body of Christ correctly. Notice that God has a way that we ought to speak. Amen. All right. And notice this. That only happens when this relationship is working correctly. You praying, the pastor speaking what ought to be said. All right, not just what he thinks is right, not just what people want to hear, but what God wants to say. All right, and so praise the Lord. I'm going to give you five things that you can pray for your pastor. Go back up there to verse 19, and Paul asked prayer. Now, Paul's spiritual leadership asking prayer of this congregation. just like today I'm asking of you. Yes. Not for the sake of myself personally, all right? I am not asking you to pray for my money or my material things. You're going to see what we're going to teach you to pray for, all right? But it's for the sake of the body of Christ, for the plan and purposes that God has. Are you ready? He says, and pray for me. First of all, know this. In verse 18, he says, praying in the Spirit. And of course, we've talked about what that is. The Bible defines that as praying in unknown tongues, right? And praying in the Spirit and also just, you know, touching heaven with your prayers. Notice there is a portion of your prayer time that is reserved for your man or woman of God. Notice there's a portion of that grace. There's a portion of that supplication that God has requested in your time should be made for spiritual leadership. Well, amen. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer in the Spirit, right? Watching thereunto, you know, with perseverance. He says, and for me. You know, in verse 19, he says, and for your spiritual leadership, all right? Look at the number one thing he says. He says, pray for me that more money would be given to me. No, he didn't pray that. I misread that verse, didn't I? All right? He didn't pray. He didn't say, hey, pray that I have a better house. Pray that I'd have a more reliable vehicle or something like that. He said, the first thing I want you to pray for me is that utterance may be given to me. All right? Number one thing you should be praying for your pastor is divine utterance. All right? Utterance. That word utterance just means things that are spoken. Things that are spoken. And notice what he says here. He says that these things that are spoken may be given unto me. All right. And then later on in the next verse, he says that I may speak as I ought to speak. So if this utterance is going to be given to Paul, where is it going to be given from? All right. Go ahead. Answer it. Yeah. From heaven. It's going to come from God. And so he says, I need to know when I speak that the words that I'm speaking are coming from heaven, they're going to the minister, and they're going out into the body of Christ and into the world the way God designed it. Notice how God has arranged his delivery system in this world. Speech, utterance that starts in heaven, that fills the heart of a minister, that goes out and changes destinies in this earth. Amen. Glory to God. Notice God said, I don't want you to, God doesn't want me to speak out of my education. He doesn't want me to just speak out of my preparation. Now, preparation is necessary. But you know what I mean? He doesn't want me just to write some, you know, sermon and then read it verbatim to you. But that's the way most churches in this country are run. Men and women of God are standing up there and they're reading some pre-canned thing and God's not in it. Even what they're saying could be completely scriptural, but it could be the wrong message at the wrong time, and it might not have any life from heaven on it. I don't know about you, but we don't want pre-canned sermons here, do we? We want a demonstration of the spirit and power of what's said around here. Amen. But notice this, that utterance must be given. But before that utterance is given, it must be asked for. The word supplication means to ask for something. You need to ask God, Father, I ask that you would fill Pastor Tim's mouth with utterance for the sake of our church family, for the sake of the churches, for the sake of our community, for the sake of your plan in this earth. Because this is what the devil is trying to steal out of your life more than anything. This is the foundation of every spirit-filled church that is in this earth. All right? Depends on the utterance that's coming from their pulpit or not. No utterance, no life. No utterance, no changed lives. No inspiration, no life of God. I'm just going to ask you, have you ever sat in a dead church service? I sure have, not here, but I've sat in dead church services before, and I don't say that critically about any other church or denomination, but I've sat in services where there is no life. I've sat in funerals where I was just attending and I wasn't officiating, and the minister stood up there and just read something, rehearsed, and just read off the paper. There's no life. They gave no invitation for people to be saved. You know, there's no anointing on it, and people left there more sad than they came in. They came in with little hope, and they left with less hope. Because, you know, Jesus, he told the Pharisees that they had that problem, remember? He said, you are like a whitewashed sepulcher or a beautiful tomb. He says, gorgeous on the outside, but filled with dead man's bones on the inside. And I refuse for Family Church to be that church. Remember what Jesus said over there in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Sardis? He says, you have a reputation that you're alive, but on the inside, you're dead. Do you know what kills churches? Is a lack of divine utterance. A lack of the people calling on heaven to give utterance to their minister so that their minister will give a word in season to them that are weary. Amen? Glory to God. So utterance is just something spoken, but it's not just any old thing. It's divine. It's from heaven. It has life on it and God's plan on it. It is supernatural utterance. Divinely given to produce supernatural results in the hearts of people. How many of you want supernatural results? We're not going to have any supernatural results if we don't have supernatural utterance. But you know what? The pastor can ask for it. You know, every day that I preach, I quote, as I'm driving down the road here today, and actually not just when the days I'm preaching, but all the time, one of my number one things I pray is 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so by the ability that God has placed in him, that God may receive all the praise and all the glory. The one thing that I want most is I want to speak with heaven-sent utterance. But I can ask for it all day, but if you're not asking for it as a congregation, we won't have it. Oh, praise the Lord. And the Lord started to reveal to me. He said, here, you need to deal with this, 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 that, and this personally. He said, but also, your people do have some responsibility in your life. That if they are not bringing their supply to you, you could make some mistakes and they would be held responsible for it. Some responsibility. And I'm not just preaching this so I can blame you. Say, Pastor, what's going on? Nothing is going on. We're just talking about, you know, making sure that we're being skillful in this relationship. You know, praise the Lord. Supernatural utterance producing supernatural results. Amen. What does this utterance do? Look at verse 19. He says that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What does utterance do? It reveals mysteries. Glory to God. When God gives the man or woman of God divine utterance, it's going to reveal mysteries of the Word of God. Have you ever read your Bible and maybe read a passage 100 times, but then all of a sudden the pastor teaches on that passage, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I never saw that before. I never noticed that like that before. What is that? That's utterance. That is him revealing a mystery to you. Glory to God. Or it could be mysteries that are personal to your life. Do you know everything that's going to happen tomorrow? You know, would it be really nice to have some divine insight into the plan of God next week for your life? Amen. That can happen in a service where there's utterance. All right. Notice, utterance will make known mysteries. We need it. You know, it could make known things pertaining projects that we're supposed to do as a church family. It could make known the plan of God, make known things. Or even as we're preaching, you'll be sitting there in your own seat, not talking to anybody, and all of a sudden you start to get answers for your life. That's what happened to me on Monday night. Amen. I got answers. I got direction. I got correction. And just remember this, there is no direction without correction. Never forget it. Say, oh my goodness, well, you know, what's Pastor Tim getting corrected for? If you say you've never been corrected, well, I'll just tell you what, you have, you just missed it. You didn't hear God then. Amen. But how many of you know we need the Word to be open to us? Remember over there in Luke chapter 24? Remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with those two men? Remember, this was after his resurrection, and they did not know that it was him. And remember, Jesus is walking behind these guys. He says, you know, this is my paraphrase. So, fellas, what's going on these days? And they turn to him, and they say, well, haven't you heard of all the commotion regarding Jesus of Nazareth? and how he was crucified and all this. And they said, some people, believe that he's risen again, and they believe he's the Messiah and Jesus, and they didn't know it was him. And he, the Bible says that he then started way back in the Old Testament and read or quoted all the prophecies about the Messiah and what would happen, telling them that indeed Jesus himself, they didn't know it was him, but why this was indeed the Messiah, all right? And remember, they even walked into town and they ate together and they never knew it was him. And then at the last moment, remember, Jesus just disappeared. And they looked at each other and they said, it was him. And remember what they said in verse 32, Luke 24, 32, remember? They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? See, that's divine utterance. When scriptures will burn in your heart, when they all of a sudden are opened to you and revealed to you, amen, that's what changes lives. That's what makes you, when you walk out of that door, you're going to do something than you did before. Amen. You're going to make changes and adjustments in your life. Praise the Lord. Utterance will read your mail. You ever sat in service, like I said, and like the Holy Ghost just reads your mail, and it's usually more like your dirty laundry? oh my goodness, he's speaking like, it just feels like you're the only one in the room, and you feel like you're under the heat lamp, and that spirit of conviction. Amen. Utterance will read your mail. It'll bring correction. It'll motivate you to make changes in your life. It'll draw you closer to God. It'll give you answers to problems that have been plaguing you. Utterance will also heal your body. Say, Pastor, I need a scripture for that. Well, how about Psalm 107, verse 20? Remember, he said to Israel, it says that the Lord sent his word, spoken word, and healed them. All right. How did that word get delivered to Israel? Started in heaven, went to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. They delivered the message of the Lord and it healed their bodies. Glory to God. Here's another thing that utterance will do. It'll strengthen you and refresh you. You ever walked out of church feeling strengthened and refreshed? Utterance will do that. All right. Well, is that scriptural? Yeah. Sounds a lot like Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. Remember what Isaiah the prophet says? He says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary. Those that are weak, he gave me a word to say to them, to strengthen them, and to refresh them. Amen. We need divine utterance. I'll tell you what, the church in America needs a revival of utterance. We don't just need preachers that are just getting their sermons offline or out of some homiletical book. See, you can be all intellectual, you can be educated and have no utterance. I've had preachers tell me, they say, well, I went to seminary and I have this and that. You can put every degree on your wall, but those degrees cannot give utterance to the people. Utterance will overturn destinies. It'll save lives. It'll speak the plan of God into this earth. It'll reveal the mysteries that you need to know. Amen. It's the difference between life and death. What you need is utterance. You don't just need someone reading a sermon to you. You can get online and read a sermon for yourself. And guess what? There's no utterance on it, which there won't be. You just pull something up. Oh, well, let's just read that. I've been there. I've been in that situation, and it grieves the Spirit of God when a man or woman who stands in front of the body of Christ, they don't prepare or they don't hear from heaven and deliver a divine message. I refuse to go without it, but I need your help. Number one, pray that your pastor has utterance. Amen. Now, you're still there in verse 19. Let's talk about the second thing you need to pray for your pastor. He says, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me. Notice that word given just sticks out because it doesn't just happen automatically. There was nobody more spiritual than Paul, but he needed the people to bring their supply to him. Listen, no matter what's going on around here, no matter how much I prepare, no matter how much I'm consecrated to God, I cannot get God's full message for this body, for this family, for this community, or whatever, without your help. I got to have it. Meaning, and I don't mean for me, I mean for the Lord's body. You understand? Me as the pastor, not Tim Stallman personally. You understand? Praise the Lord. He says that utterance may be given to me. That tells me that God, how many of you know that God's a giver? How many of you know the Bible says over there in James 1:5 that God who upbraids not and gives to all men liberally? What does that mean? God loves to give. All right? He so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. So this utterance isn't something that God's like holding on to. All right? He wants to give it. But it goes to show you that if the body of Christ does not pray, if the body of Christ does not request it from the throne of God, it will not show up. We have a part to play. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. Here's the second thing you need to pray for your pastor is boldness. Why? Because divine utterance will be demonically resisted. The last thing in the world that the devil wants for you is you sitting under a divinely given message. Satan is not after your money. He's not after your health. He's not trying to, you know, steal your business. What he's after is to distract you away from utterance. He might knock things over in your business. He might try to knock things over in your marriage. He might try to knock things over in your kid's life. Why? That's to distract you away from utterance. Utterance is what every believer needs, all right? And because utterance is so resisted, we need to pray for boldness. Because how many of you know there's a lot of people in this earth that don't want to hear it? You know what? Every service, I make somebody mad. And I mean, not me so much as the word, you know, because, you know, people will grit their teeth. All right, let's try it out. Let's just do this. Tithe. There'll be someone that'll grit their teeth. That word, oh, that money-minded church. It's not money-minded. It's called holiness. There's going to come a day when you're, you know, the non-tither is going to step in front of God and they're going to be wishing they had obeyed. Not because God will send you to hell over it, because God will show you how much it desecrated holiness. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you say just something like that. Or here's another one. Tongues. Tongues. Tongues is of God, not of the devil. Tongues is a holy utterance from heaven. It is powerful. It is mighty. And it is for every believer. Woo, that'll tick somebody off. Because they'll try to interpret my word as saying that, oh, if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not saved. Did I say that? No, of course you're saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. It's available for everyone who is saved. Oh, but that's not what I was taught. I can't believe he said that. I was told that tongues is of the devil. See, you're religious spirited. You got that religious spirit. I know what it looks like because I had it once too. I had it once. I remember when people would tell me that, I would grit my teeth. I'd say, that's not what my church told me. When I was growing up, they told me tongues was of the devil. But then I had to read the Bible. And the Bible says that 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, so it's not a natural language, but to God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he utters mysteries or speaks secret truths. Amen. Thank God for praying in other tongues. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul said, he said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But yet no wonder why the devil has resisted that doctrine so hard. If you have any questions on it, I wrote a book on it, which I seemed like the most unqualified candidate because I resisted it for many years of my life. But then I realized, oh my goodness, I had to realize, listen, if it comes down to the Bible or what I was taught, the Bible is right and my background was wrong. Not all my background, but when they told me that, that was wrong. I had really good denominational pastors look at me and say, oh, that was just some oddity. It passed away. You know, I've had other pastors say, oh, no, that was just, charismatic emotionalism and fanaticism. No, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will speak new tongues. New tongues. The word new means never spoken before. Amen. So it wasn't Chinese. It wasn't German. It wasn't Spanish. It was a heavenly tongue. Paul said this. He says, for if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Anyhow, Why? What am I saying this? Because those things need to be said boldly. And I said all those things to make somebody mad, to show you and to prove to you. You know? Because people will resist utterance. There's people that the devil will stir somebody up with a religious spirit to come against those that are trying to speak utterance. Every minister needs boldness, all right? Because the devil's trying to resist that utterance. Mysteries must be revealed through boldness, because boldness is the absence of fear. God cannot deliver anything divine in an atmosphere of fear. Come on, you need to get a hold of that. That goes for your home, by the way. You show me a worried home, and I'll show you a home that God cannot even walk into. See, remember in the Old Testament how the presence of God was so thick in the tabernacle, Moses couldn't even get in through the door? Well, you know, it works the reciprocal. God can't get into a door of a house that's filled with fear, because God does not exist in a realm of fear. Fear is what keeps God out of things. You show me someone who's worried all the time, I'll show you somebody that God will have a hard time helping them. Well, amen. They're worried all the time. They're panicked all the time. It'll keep God out. And I'll tell you what, boldness is the absence of fear. Think of how many things in church don't get said in this country because the preacher is scared of what people think about him. Folks, I'm going to say this, and I say this lovingly. I care deeply for you. All right? And quick, before I start crying. You know, and Pastor Brad can cry with me. You know, we'll just come up here and we'll just start crying in front of you. So we hope that you see that with all of our heart. You know, I love you. With all of my being, I love you. You know, but I don't care what you think. He said that. That's so insensitive. No. Understand me. What I mean by that is I will not allow the opinions of people to restrict what I say. I will preach the word whether you like it or not. Whether there's 3 here or 300 here or 500 here, it don't matter. I am not going to preach, you know, based on the fear of people. Remember what God told the prophet Jeremiah over there in Jeremiah chapter 1? He says, and don't be afraid for their faces. Remember over there what Proverbs 29 verse 25? He says, the fear of people, the fear of man brings a snare. Think of how many churches nowadays, they're giving polls. Do you like when we preach this? What shall we preach? Should we do this? What's going to keep you in those seats? Do you like our music? Do you like our preaching? Oh, don't say tongues in church. Don't say tithe in church. Don't say these things because people won't like it. God cannot operate in an environment like that. Oh, do you like our smoke machines? Do you like our lasers? Because we need to be relevant to this young generation. There is nothing more relevant to every generation than divinely inspired speech. Words that will penetrate the heart of the young, the heart of the old, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of church background. Pray for boldness. Say, well, I don't like it when you say stuff like that. I don't care. You didn't call me to preach. I've had people come in and like, Pastor, you just keep doing this. You keep saying this. You know, you keep going to that verse, or I don't like the music, or I don't like this. There's the door. What? You want me to conform to you? What are we going to be? A people-pleasing church? Or a God-pleasing church? Pastor, all that lifting hands and shouting business just sounds cultic. Yeah, if you're a Bible cult, I guess it would. Bible didn't say lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless yourself. It said lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. God didn't ask you whether you liked it. If you think you're going to serve God without grilling your flesh, you are sadly mistaken. You say, well, man, Pastor, it seems like everything God tells me to do, I don't want to do. Welcome to following God. But Pastor, I saw that big famous preacher on church telling me how sweet and nice and everything was going to be. And he told me to go skip stones on the pond. He told me the power of me and all this stuff. Well, there's no utterance in that. Yeah, you can go dance through the tulips all you want. But there's a real world out there. There's a real devil out there who's looking to eat your lunch, and you better know how to handle him. Glory to God. You need a preacher that'll speak boldly. Good Lord, I better get off that soapbox. God is not interested in ministers who are scared to deliver a message. Glory to God. Amen. See, every minister will face a barrage of fear. Folks, I'm just going to speak real to you. You say, well, Pastor, you don't seem like the afraid type. Well, that's because you're seeing the cloak of God, you know, so to speak. The Spirit of God isn't afraid. But I'll tell you what, the barrage of discouragement, the barrage of you know, fear, you know, I still, after almost 2,000 sermons, I actually just started counting it up again. After 2,000 sermons, you know, and standing in front of hundreds of people every single week, it never has gotten easy. Never. Like, I don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing what God called me to do, but my flesh, you know, starts to cringe. Honestly, the cringe tries to set in just about every Friday night. My weekend, you know, I'm going to be in Erie on Saturday and stand in front of people. I'm going to be here on Sunday and stand before people. And, I mean, that cringe, you know, what I mean by that is like this. The devil tries to put dread on it because I'm going to be standing in front of people. And even after 2,000, you know, sermons, that feeling still attacks me every week. All right? And it just makes me want to hide. That's why we got this bigger pulpit. All right, you know, and so I'm just telling you, every minister who has a heart to do the will of God is 100% attacked by that sense. And boldness is the absence of fear. You need to be praying for your pastor that boldness would be given, because you know why? Boldness is what creates breakthrough. No one ever had a breakthrough with God because the pastor pampered them. Pamper, honey. Oh, sympathy. Or you can give them the truth, and the truth will make them free. Truth will make them free. Nothing wrong. See, there's a difference between sympathy and compassion. I don't believe in sympathy because the Bible don't talk about it. The Bible says compassion. Sympathy is just having feelings. Oh, that's too bad for them. Oh. But compassion is that you act. You pray for them. You help them. You give to them. You provide something for them. The Bible says that Jesus looked upon the multitudes that followed him, and he looked upon them with compassion because they were scattered and faint like sheep without a pastor. Remember that? Matthew 9:36. Remember that? He said they're scattered and faint because they're like sheep without a pastor. And Jesus said, I looked upon them with compassion. Jesus said, so you know what? Because they're scattered and faint like sheep without a pastor, well, guess what Jesus gave his flock? Pastors. He moved with compassion and gave us pastors, right? Sounds like Ephesians 4:11. And he gave gifts unto men, verse 8, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When God wanted to give us a gift of compassion, he gave us a man and woman of God who would lead his flock. Amen. But they need boldness. Because if a preacher is timid and intimidated, they're going to get eaten alive. They're going to get eaten alive. Absolutely. And I've just decided, even sometimes, you know, Paul said, I came to you in much fear and trembling. You know, what was he talking about? He said, on the inside. You know, that wasn't the case on the outside with Paul. You know, but thank God he walked in that spirit of boldness. So much to the point where, they threw him in jail. Why? What was that jail about? That was Satan's attempt to resist that utterance. But guess what Paul did in that jail? Oh, I'll write a letter to the Philippian church. I'll write a letter to the Thessalonican church. I will write a letter to the Ephesian church. And when that devil thought he had chained up that utterance, it became the eternal word of God that has gone around the earth many times over. Millions and billions of Bibles and people sitting there hearing that utterance. When the devil thought he had the utterance chained, It got out and changed the world. Glory to God. Amen. No doubt that the prayers of the Ephesian church led to utterance that Paul ultimately wrote down and became scriptures that changed our lives. Paul wasn't acting alone. He had the help. Praise the Lord. All right, go over to 2 Thessalonians. You getting something out of this today? So number one, we pray that our pastor has utterance. Two, we pray that our pastor would be filled with boldness. Because there's people that would come in. Just know this, at any given time, there are people in this community or in the government or whatever that would love to shut this church down. Do you know one time? Okay, are you ready for a little background fun? When this building was getting opened and, you know, going through all the construction process, you know, they tried to shut it down. Just like they tried to shut down Erie. They just try to shut down every church, you know, it seems like. And I had a law enforcement officer walk in this building 10 minutes before I was to take the pulpit and served me with papers. Yeah. You can better believe I was tempted not to be bold that night. It was a Wednesday night. You know, and just know this, that there are you know, people in work in, you know, in society that would love to shut your church down, would love to silence the voice of your pastor. You better be praying. Boldness. Boldness. Utterance. Boldness. Now, let's give you the third thing. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And now we'll give you the third, fourth, and fifth thing, and they're going to move a lot quicker because they're easier to say. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Easier to explain is what I meant to say. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 1. Now, Paul is going to request this church to pray for him and for those that were with him. He says, now, of course, this again was another church that Paul started. He represents the top of their spiritual leadership. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray what? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now go back up to verse 1, and we're going to give you the third thing. He said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Here's the third thing you pray for your pastor, that the word of God that is spoken has free course. That word free course, it means to run quickly. Or you could say it this way, to do a quick work. How many of you would prefer the word to work quickly in your life? Yeah. You know, that tells me, can you bring this up in the Amplified? That tells me that the word does work quickly and we are the ones that hinder it. If it's not working quickly, it's not God's fault. It's probably with us, all right? Furthermore, brethren, do pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on. Don't you like that? Speed on. Maybe that should be the new family church slogan. Family church, speed on. People be like, what are they talking about? He says that the word of the Lord would speed on, spread rapidly, and run its course. Isn't that amazing? The word of God has a course. Meaning it has an assignment to complete. And see, that's what he's saying. He said, pray that the word would have free course, that it would go out quickly and do what it's supposed to do. Notice the preacher can be speaking. Notice it can be utterance from heaven. But again, if it's hindered or restricted, it could stop it or prevent it. And so that's what it's talking about. Make sure that the word has free course. It's moving unhindered, without weight, or without restriction. I'm going to say something here that may, you know, make somebody upset. You know, there's lots of churches that have church boards that tell the pastor what he can and cannot preach. Do you know that? You might not know that. And I'll tell you what, there'd be other pastors that I know, love, and care for that would be mad at me for saying this. But it's just the truth. There are churches with church boards that tell the pastor what he can and can't do. Wrong. No. So I want you to understand, we have a church board here. I have an accountability board. If my personal life, you know, gets into sin, if I preach wrong doctrine or to oversee, you know, how money is spent and things, it's an accountability board. But nowhere in the Bible would God ever tell someone who's a sheep to tell the shepherd what to preach? You know, I cannot tell you how many pastors have talked to me and said, I want to preach that, but I can't. My denomination won't let me preach that. I'll tell you what, there was a great man of God that was in our community. I'm not sure where he is now. Had a great going church. He was a denominational pastor, got filled with the Spirit, started preaching the word, raised up a very large church in this community. It was on fire. It was a revival. It was a few decades ago. And the conference came in and told him, you got to stop preaching this stuff. You got to stop preaching this stuff. And he said, I won't. He said, I won't. And they drove him out of that denomination. They drove him out of that church. And they put somebody in there who had no utterance. And guess what happened to that church? It died. It came crashing down because it is established upon utterance and the word of God having free course. You don't have somebody that comes in and tells the pastor, you don't preach this, we don't like it. We don't like this, don't preach that. That's wrong. And that's why, you know, one reason why the church in America is hindered, because the word isn't having free course. Also, how many of you know the government tries to restrict what preachers say from the pulpit? We got to absolutely pray that the word of God has free course, because we need our lawmakers to be passing laws that are friendly to the gospel. And you know, I don't preach politics here. But I'll tell you what, you know, thank God that our current administration has been the friendliest administration to the church of any administration in the history of the United States, including Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan. Say, no, it was friendlier than. Oh my goodness, there has been people at work since the founding of our nation trying to prohibit what preachers say from the pulpit. All right, but you have to understand that this nation was founded upon divine utterance that was spoken. Do you know that the Great Awakening was the hotbed in which this nation was founded? You know, you say, well, yeah, 1776, woo! You know, July 4th, 1776. Well, you better go back to July 1746 and read about George Whitefield and the preaching and the demonstration of God's power that came through the preaching of the Word of God. He would have open-air meetings in New York City, Philadelphia, you know, these great cities. It was called the Cradle of Liberty, you know. And he would preach, and thousands of people would show up. And it was people that many of them became founding fathers in our country. I mean, the power of God fell. George Whitefield would get preaching, and people would climb trees to hear him speak. And he would hear in the 18th century, George Whitefield would say, he would stop his message and he'd say, get those people out of the trees, because when the power of God falls on this place, it's going to knock them out. So you thought we had wild services. Our country was founded on divine utterance. They were so moved by the Spirit of God. They were so moved by divine utterance. It was that gave them the hunger for freedom. And back then, it was the majority of it, the Presbyterian Church was on fire for God. And you know that the writers of our Constitution were ordained ministers. And if you've never read the Mayflower Compact, all right, I know we're going back to our Charlie Brown special here. But if you've never read the Mayflower Compact, which was a religious document of the Pilgrims, you know, Plymouth Rock and all that stuff, they wrote the Mayflower Compact, and when we needed a template for our Constitution, that's what they set next to it. And you need to know a little bit of your history. Thank God for utterance. Thank God for free course. Thank God for a government that will not restrict what a preacher will say. Do you know in the previous administration, they made it illegal for a pastor to say, you know, positive things, anything that could be construed as an endorsement for a political candidate? This church got letters about it, about, you know, be careful, because if you say anything that's endorsing of any candidate, we will remove your tax exemption status. And the previous administration tried over and over to try to tax the local churches. What is that? They were trying to steal the tithe. That was Satan coming after the tithe that belongs to God. And when our current president, when Mr. Trump got into office, he came in, and one of the first things he did in the first 30 days of his administration is he scratched that. He scratched it. He said, preachers can say what they want from their pulpits. Thank God for it. Now, I'm not here to preach politics. I don't do that here. But thank God for a friendly government that is, you know, friendly to the gospel, having free course. We need the word to have free course in our church, not restricted. People don't, you know, a pastor who will hear from heaven, who will deliver the message that pleases God, not people. Amen? All right, there's the third thing. Let's talk about the fourth thing. Go back over to the King James, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and, everyone say, and be glorified. Here's the fourth thing you pray for your pastor. Pray that the word of God be glorified in our midst. Amen. What does that mean? That means that the word will get the glory, not the preacher. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it. This country, when it comes to the body of Christ in America, we've gotten addicted to personalities. There's people that watch ministers on TV, nothing wrong with that, but they get more addicted to that personality than they do what's being said. How many of you know that we are all supposed to search the scriptures? That we're not just baby birds showing up and, you know, mama bird drops something in and they eat it no matter what. And I'm not mama bird, all right? And so we need the word of God to get the glory in our midst. What we do together as a family. The preacher does not get the credit. The word gets the credit. I'm going to tell you what, even in Pentecostal circles, people are following people and just regardless, they're hooked on their personalities. They're worshiping the ground that these people walk on. I believe in honor, but I don't believe in worshiping a man. Amen. I'll just tell you, I don't believe in worshiping ministers. I believe in honoring them. I believe in respecting them. But I don't believe that we can't check up on what they're saying. You better be checking up on what I'm saying. The Bible says over there, what is it? Acts 17:11 about the Berean church. It says they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to determine what Paul was saying was true. And Paul wasn't offended. I will not be offended if you take these scriptures home. Write them down. Go look for yourself. Don't just... Well, he's a pastor, he's got a church, so everything he says must be right. Wrong. You know, you got to check up for yourself. Amen. But pray that the word of God would be glorified. Pray that your pastor would keep being successful in the dealings that he has to deal with. I mean, when your pastor deals with government, we need to pray that our church wins. Amen. It does, and it has, and it will keep winning. Praise the Lord. Remember, doctrine is primary in our church. It's not the personality of the pastor. You want good, sound doctrine. And now let's give you the fifth and final thing. Go to verse 2. It says, and that pray that we, as your spiritual leadership, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Folks, this is a real tough truth for all of us to face. Not everybody likes your pastor. You might be saying, I don't like my pastor. No, okay, we don't go that far. You know, but we know that there's people anywhere and everywhere that would love to see your pastor fail. All right? There are people that are, look at, there's two kinds of people here. They're unreasonable people. Unreasonable people. You know, if you've seen our Erie building, you will see a clear definition of unreasonable at work, where they made us seal off the stairway going upstairs. They made us seal off behind double doors that go out into an empty garage. I mean, all this stuff that was very unreasonable. All right? I had law enforcement showing up. I had law enforcement calling me saying that they were going to arrest me for a service that I conducted that they gave me permission to be in. And to their credit, that one gentleman, he did apologize after I showed him. He's like, Pastor, I'm going to put you in jail. I'm going to put you in jail. And I said, do it. You're going to make me famous. Fox News will report on the pastor who is jailed. I told him, we'll get our cameras there. We'll have people take pictures of me. I said, we'll get a video of you stuffing me into the squad car. You know? Or maybe if they handcuff me up front, be like, you know, thumbs up. I said, you'll make me famous. Our church will grow even faster. He said, Pastor, what are you talking about? I said, listen, I have the correspondence. Your office gave me permission to be here, and now you're trying to arrest me for something that you told me I could do. That's unreasonable. How many of you know you need to pray for your pastor that he's delivered from unreasonable and wicked people? Not everybody has good intentions when they come into this church. And I tell you what, if you've entered here today with wrong intentions, we're going to find out about it, because we love these people and we're not going to let you do any damage. We're not going to let you merchandise anybody. We're not going to let you try to turn Family Church into a meat market so you can go fishing for a new boyfriend or girlfriend. We're not going to let you, hang out in our children's wing and because you want to watch the kids and all that stuff. We're going to keep this place safe. If you got bad intentions, we're going to watch you. No, and I say that, I say, well, Pastor, wow, that seems so strong. No, we want people to know this church is going to be safe. You know, and you think, you know, I know we all come in here and we're happy, woo. But you know, there's every once in a while, there's someone that comes in that they don't have good intentions. They don't have good intentions for the pastors, and they don't have good intentions for you. And you need to pray that your pastor would be sensitive to that. You've seen it. You've seen it. Can we just talk real? I've been up here before, and you've seen our ushers stirring. And you're trying to keep focused on me to be polite, but you're like, what's going on over there? What are they doing? You've seen people walk in, walk up, you know, that had wrong intentions. There's people that have shown up that they had a, some kind of restraining order or something with somebody here, and they tried to violate that. I mean, things that like that are happening. Our ushers are the best. They are on it. And man, you know, we're very grateful for that. Amen. We do all that. We go to great lengths because you know why? God's worth it, and so are you. You're worth it to us. So pray, fifthly, that your pastor would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because there are people that want to see us fail. They want to see me fail. They want to see, you know, this church dissolve. I'll tell you what, the government in Erie, and of course everything has changed now, and it wasn't everybody, it was just a few. I mean, they downright told me. There was one inspector, he came in, he said, yeah, okay, this will work for now, but you're not going to have the money to finish the rest. When we bought that building, we inherited the previous year's taxes, and there was a $34,000 tax bill, and there was people in the tax office say, you won't be able to pay that. We're going to get our building back. Going to get that building back. And then 2 weeks later, we walked in, oh, you mean this? Because the people of God responded, and we just paid it right off. Glory to God. They were hoping. They said, you're not going to be able to afford this. You're not going to be able to do this. Listen, and I, you know, you remember when the building of this building, you remember the people that rose up that tried to stop the building of this building? I stood there by myself in a local town hall meeting. There was 100 people there. I had a man come up to me, get right in my face. And he put his finger right here in my face. He's pointing at me, and I'm just waiting for him to getting closer, buddy. Hope you like to eat fingers, because you're about to. Because I'm going to. Hey, I know you've never had a carnal thought ever in your life. Of course, I didn't react. Of course, I was like, bless you, sir. Bless you. He's shaking his face so much. And I had one person come up to me. We know you have 800 people over at that church. It's growing all the time. I was like, yeah, that's right. Keep confessing it for us. You know, and on the outside I was sweet, and on the inside I was like, I'm going to break your hand. See, aren't you glad that you can have God in your heart even when you have carnal thoughts in your mind? Thank God. The Bible says the love of God constrains us, holds us back. And I'm glad I was held back. But what is that? That was unreasonable, wicked people trying to stop what God does. So you've got to be praying that we're delivered from that. All right? So number one, what are we praying for our pastor? That utterance may be given to him. All right. Two, we're praying that boldness would be given to him. All right. We're praying that the word of God would have free course in our midst. Right. We're praying that the word of the Lord would be glorified in our midst. Number four and number five, we're praying that God would deliver our pastors from unreasonable and wicked people. I see so many of you taking notes. You're writing down each one. Because please don't go before God and just get on your knees and say, God, please just do what pastor said. If you don't get specific with God, it isn't going to happen. You know, and that's just a little side note. You know why so many people don't see the manifestations of their prayers? Because they don't get specific. Oh, Lord, just help me. Help you with what? Specifically, tell God what you are asking him for. You know, you better be specific, and you better be specific. That's why I gave you five things to specifically pray for your pastor. Now, the question is, are you going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, I tell you, this side seemed a little bit more willing than this side. Let's try it again. Are you going to do it?
Yes.
You know, and again, this is not something I'm asking for personally. This is not something for Tim Stallman. This is something for the pastor in your life, all right? I have a pastor. I pray the same way for my pastor because we need to get what God's doing in our midst, all right? So you have your marching orders. I preach what the Holy Ghost told me to preach. He told me back on Monday night. I've obeyed the Lord. It was not the message that I naturally would have spoken, but it was a word in season for our church. Amen. It will produce fruit, and that fruit will remain if we do it. Amen. Did you get some help here today? You got your assignment? Let's do it, because God wants to do great things for the remainder of this year. And hey, we got a new year right on our doorstep. Let's start it out the right way. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, you are faithful. You are good. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you for this divinely inspired relationship of pastor and congregation. Father, I've brought my supply to this congregation. Father, I have fed them faithfully with the word of God. Lord, I've tried to keep my opinions out of it. Lord, I've tried to keep politics out of it. Father, I thank you that for that supply, and I thank you now this congregation continues to bring a supply to the pastors. Father, I thank you they bring a supply of prayer, specifically what your word says, that, Father, that we pray that our pastors would have utterance, that they would have boldness. Father, the word of God would be unrestricted and have free course, that the word of God would be glorified at Family Church, that when people walk in these doors, Father, we want them to know and see this is a place of God's word. That it's not about a person, it's not about a personality, that the word of God is glorified. And Father, we pray, we say that this church is delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. And Father, we just thank you for it. And Father, we have our assignment now. And now we said we'd do it. Now, Father, we're going to do it. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory today. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss here today, I have to ask you the most important question anyone could ever ask you. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You know, this past week, I walked into the hospital to visit a man that I didn't know personally. He was a relative of somebody in our church. And I walked in there into the hospital room and I guess he had gotten some, you know, pretty serious news regarding his health. And so I walked in there, and I just said to him, I said, listen, I don't know you, but I know you enough to know that I don't want to see you lost in hell forever. I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, I'm not asking you to give anything or join my organization or something like that. I said, I'm here to tell you that heaven and hell are real. And that's what I'm saying to this congregation here today. Heaven and hell are real. There is a life after this. It is exactly how the Bible has described. And God has made a way so that you will never have to see the likes of hell ever in your existence. The Bible says that God sent Jesus, his son, 2,000 years ago, who came and lived a perfect, sinless life. And though he was completely innocent, they made him guilty. And they put him on the cross where he took the punishment that we deserved for our sins. Because sins are simply crimes against God, and crimes must be punished. But God decided that Jesus, his perfect son, would take the punishment so that if you would put your faith in Christ, that you would not have to see that punishment yourself. And so now the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:13 that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, it says, there's no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I've tried to be a good person. I've never hurt anybody. Well, that's all good and fine, but you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to bring you down front today. I'm not going to send you into some private room with a church leader to talk to them and all that. But right there in your seat, if you say, Pastor, that's me, and I know I need to invite Jesus into my heart, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray to invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand and that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. He's not mad at you. But we must accept and receive the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. We must accept Christ's punishment on the cross so that we don't have to be punished once we leave this earth. We've had several hands. Is there anybody else that you say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you today. You know, we do have, you know, several folks visiting, you know, with family for the holiday weekend and so on. And it's just a good opportunity to let you know God's made a way for you. He's made a way. Is there anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead this congregation in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, all you have to do is mean it with your heart. You know, don't just say the prayer as a ritual. Speak to God, mean it with your heart, and here's something. You have to speak those words out of your mouth. Don't just think it in your head. Speak these words right out. We're going to be praying with you as a way to help you so you know you're not just left on your own. And so let's all pray this together. If you lifted your hand, pray these words, mean it with your heart. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it awesome that you can preach a message about praying for the pastor and have five souls come to Christ? That's just the wonderful goodness and grace of God when something has divine utterance on it. Amen. Well, did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, when we dismiss, I'm going to be up here, down here on the floor in front of the pulpit. If I have not had a chance to meet and greet with you, if you're visiting today, or if this is like, you know, you've been here a few times, but we still have not had a chance to meet, please come on up and see me. It really just makes my day when I get to meet new faces here at the church. And of course, please come back and see us if you can. The only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here all the time. Amen. So let's just go ahead and give the Lord some praise and glory.